Welcome to Toys for Smarkings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Tes Vav. Today's shiur will begin Mirtz Hashem, 9 lines from the top. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Shmoyne Psukim Achroinim Shebatur, the last 8 Psukim of the Torah, Mikosvan, who authored them? So we now turn to the Gemara with a quote from Yud Daled Amud Beis, the Gemara that we learned in our previous shiur, Omar Mar. Yoshua Kosav Sifro, Shmoyne Psukim Shebatur. Yoshua wrote the book of Yoshua and the last 8 Psukim of the Torah. Tanya Keman Domar Shmoyne Psukim Shebatur Yoshua Kosvan. We'll now present a brisa that supports that opinion that Yoshua wrote the last 8 Psukim. The Sanya Vayomos Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. That's at the end of Sefer Devarim. Efshir Moshe Chai V'Kosav V'Yomos Shom Moshe. Could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that? That he was alive and wrote that he, Moshe, died? Elo Adkan Kosav Moshe. Up till that point, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. Mikan V'Yomos Kosav Yoshua Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. From that point on, namely the last 8 psukim, Yoshua wrote them. The Amri Law, Rabbi Nechemya. Another opinion is that this was authored by Rabbi Nechemya. So there you have it, a Mad Omar, that the last 8 psukim were written by Yeshua. However, not all agree. Omar Lo, Rabbi Shimon. Efshur Sefer Torah Choser Ois Achas V'Uksiv Lokoyach Es Sefer Torah Zeh. Could it possibly be that a Sefer Torah is missing even one letter and it is referred to as this Sefer Torah? And here you have something that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Elo ad kan HaKadosh Baruch Omer uMoshe Kosev. Up till the last 8 psukim, the Almighty dictated and Moshe wrote down. Mikan ve'elech HaKadosh Baruch Omer uMoshe Kosev b'dema. From that point on, namely the last 8 psukim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated. However, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it b'dema. The simple translation is he wrote it with tears. There are other explanations of concerning the word bedema in Sfarim, but for our purposes, we'll keep it at that level of translation. Now, it says, Kamoi Shenemar. You'll notice we had a semicolon at the end of the previous line. The Rashi points out, Kamoi Shenemar lahalon akula milsekoi. This statement of the Brisa, it goes back on everything that was said before, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Kosev. Kamo Shemotzinu Shenaviim Kosevim Mipi Rabbam. This idea of dictation, that the idea of the Kadosh Baruch Hu dictating and then Moshe Rabbeinu writes, we find by the Neviim as well, that the teacher, the previous or older Novi would dictate, and the younger ones would write it down, and that's what we see here. Kamo shenemar lahalom vayomer lehem boruch mipiv yikro elai es kol advarim eila vani kosev al hasefer vidyo. Boruch was taking dictation from Yirmiyo, and he said that I heard from him what to write down, and I wrote everything down on parchment. Kamanaz loha d'omar Rabbi Yoshua bar Abba omar Rav Gidol omar Rav. Like which Tana does the following opinion of Rav go? Shmoyne psukim shebetura yochid kuri oison. The last 8 psukim of the Torah are read by a single individual. Namely, you don't split them apart to give, let us say, 2 aliyas to 2 people in those last 8 psukim. So lema udelo k'Rabbi Shimon, should we say that it's not like Rabbi Shimon? Because as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the last 8 psukim are a continuation of the rest of the Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why shouldn't you be able to split them apart? So it would appear that this follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write them. They're therefore different than the rest of the Torah, and they shouldn't be split apart. The Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rabbi Shimon. This opinion of Rav could be like Rabbi Shimon as well. So then the question then is, why can't they be split apart like you would the rest of the Torah? Since they have a difference to them, they were written bedema. So with that change, so we treat them in a changed form as well, and we do not split them apart. Yoshua Kosov Sifro, Voksi Vayomos Yoshua Ben Nun Ever Hashem. You also, on the one hand, you say that Yoshua wrote the book of Joshua, but at the end of that sefer, it says that Yoshua died, so he couldn't have written that. Answer: the Gemara says you're right. The Aske Elozer HaKohen, he outlived Yoshua, and he wrote that. Ah, Voksi Elozer Ben Aaron Mace, but it says in the book of Yoshua that he died. So the Gemara says the Aske Pinchas, the son of Elozer, he finished it off. And he wrote that from that part on. Shmuel Kosov Sifro, that we learned earlier, that Shmuel had written the book of Shmuel. Ah, how could you say that? Voksi by Shmuel Mace. The Gemara answers the Aske Gud Hachoize Venoson Hanovi. The book of Shmuel was finished off by these two prophetic individuals, God and Noson. We learned that David Kosav Sefer Tehilim Ayadei Asora Zekenim. The Gemara asks, V'lech Shuvami Eisenu Ezrochi, in the list of the 10 Zekenim that we saw toward the end of our previous shiur, we saw a list of 10, but we didn't see Eisenu Ezrochi in the list. And yet you have a chapter of Tehillim that makes reference to Eson Ezrochi as a contributing author. Omar Rav, Eson Ezrochi, Zehu Avram. In fact, he was referred to because in our list we had of the 10 writers, you had Avram. He was number 3. Ksiv Hocha, and how do I know that Eson Ezrochi is Avram? Ksiv Hocha Eson Ezrochi. In the chapter of Tehillim where there is reference to him, it says that Eson Ezrochi Ksiv Hosam Miheir Mimizroch Tzedek, and that posuk of Miheir Mimizroch Tzedek is a reference to Avram Avinu. The Gemara asks Kochoshiv Moshe V'Kochoshiv Haman. You have in our list a reference to Moshe and a reference to Haman. V'Omar Rav Haman ze Moshe, but Rav has said that they are one and the same. So how can you list them as two different people? And here to prove that point that Haman is Moshe, Ksiv Hocha Haman. It says in the pasuk Maskil leHaman uksiv Hosam regarding Moshe. It says Bechol Beisi Neeman Hu. The Gemara responds, Trei Haman Havu. There were two Hamans. One Haman was in fact a reference to Moshe, but there was another Haman who was in a part of our list as a separate author of a part of Tehillim. Moshe Kosev Sifro Uparshas Bilom V'Iov. This too we learned earlier. Misayelein the Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma. This accounting that Moshe Rabbeinu is the author not only of the Chumash but also of Sefer Iov supports Rabbi Levi's point. And here you'll notice a new marking. It begins a list. And on the side of the Gemara, notice we have a Nosei Kloli, a general topic introduction. And we indicate until Tes Zayinam Beis, in one word, Iov. We have a structural note, the Mivneh, which features a crown shape and also a double underline. These represent Deus Shoinois Al Mosai Chai Iov, different opinions as to when Iov lived. The Omid Beis Muva O Deos Shehem Shel Tanoyim. You notice we have a slightly different crown marking with the colored in tips. Those are additional opinions that will be of Tanoyim. In the meantime, we have Amoraic points of view here. As we go through the first opinion, you'll notice immediately a volcano shape highlighting the word V'ema. These are Hatzos Chilufios Lelimud Me'amilo Efo. You'll see that we, in order to prove a point, we focus on the word Efo, and the Gemara will suggest alternative approaches in how to deal with that expression. Now we go to the Gemara text, where we mention that the statement that Moshe Rabbeinu authored the Sefer of Iov supports Rabbi Levi Bar Chamo, Rav Levi Bar Lachmo's point. The Omer Rabbi Levi Bar Lachmo, Eov Bimei Moshe Hoya. Ksiv Hocha Mi Tein Efo V'Yikosvun Miloi. You see in Sefer Eov that Pasuk, and we dashed underline Efo. Uksiv Hosam in Sefer Shmos, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Tezayin, it says Uvame Ivoda Efo, a Pasuk stated by Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not getting into the translation of the Pasukim, but we want to emphasize the similarity of words. The Gemara, and from the we'll call it the Gezeira Shava, or the presence of the word Efo in both Pesukim, we conclude that Moshe Rabbeinu authored Eo of Viemos, alternative suggestion, Bimei Yitzchok, Dichtiv Mi Efo Hu Hatzot Zayid. We see the word Efo in the context of Yitzchok Avinu and the story with the brachas to Esav and Yankiv. So maybe Eov was in Yitzchok's time. V'ema b'me Yankiv d'chtiv in kain Efo zois. Also, you see the word Efo in the context or in the time period of Yankiv. So maybe Eov lived then. V'ema b'me Yosef d'chtiv Efo heim royim. Similarly, you see the word Efo together with Yosef. So maybe Eov lived then. Lo salkadaitich. No, we cannot suggest that, because it says in the continuation of Pasuk Chof Gimel from Eov Yutes, it says, Mi yitain basefer v'yu chaku. U'moishehu d'ikri mechoikeh. We dashed in the line v'yu chaku, having the similar root as the word mechoikeh. And Moshe Rabbeinu is called the mechoikeh. Dechtiv v'yareish slo ki shom chelkas mechoikeh sofun. The word mechokek, like from having the root chok, the law, the lawgiver, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see that the pasuk from Eov, Perek Yud Tes, pasuk Yud Chof Gimel, is an indication that Moshe Rabbeinu is the author of the book of Eov. Rav Omar Eov Bimei Meraglim Hoya. Here another opinion. He lived in the time of the Meraglim. Sivachi Ish Hoya Be'eretz Utz Eov Shmo. At the beginning of Sefer Eov, you see that pasuk. Uksiv Hosam Hayesh Bo Eitz. With regard to the Meraglim, in that context, you see that pasuk. The Gemara asks me, Domi, how can you compare these pasukim? Hocha Utz Hosam Eitz. They're two different words. The Gemara says, it's true they're two different words. However, if you understand the pasuk Hayesh Bo Eitz, you'll understand how there is a reference in that to Eov. Hachi Kamalu Moshe L'Yisrael. Thusly Moshe said to Yisrael, Yeshno Li'osu Adam, does there still remain that man, Sheshnoisav Aruchos Ke'etz, Umegin Aldoro Ke'etz, who experienced longevity like a tree, and protects his generation like a tree, referring to Eov, a righteous individual who lived in Eretz Canaan, who served as a through his righteousness served as a defense for his own generation. So Rava contends that Eov was at the time of the Meraglim. Yosef Hahu Merabonon Kamei Drav Shmuel Bar Nachmein of Yosef Komar. Eov lo hoya v'lo nivro elo moshal hoya. Rashi toward the end says moshal hoya l'umoid menu tshuvos l'mekatrigim al midas adin v'she'en odo mitfas al tsaro. From the book of Eov we learn responses to those that question the divine judgment, and that a person is not held responsible for we'll say problematic expressions that he utters at the time of tribulation. So Eov was, according to this approach of the Hahu Mir Abonon, never existed. He simply is an analogy, a mashal, for us to learn those lessons. So now Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmein, upon hearing this response, Omar Leo Lechom Akro, regarding your position, is it reasonable for the pasuk to say Ish Hoya Beretz Utz Eov Shmo? There was a man. Now, if you say there was a man, he existed, not as you contend that he never existed. Now, the Gemara asks in response to that, though, Elo Me'ata, you have a pasuk that was simply a parable, and it says in the pasuk, L'Roshein Kol Kim Kivso Achas Ketana Shekona v'yichyeh v'tihi lo kibas. That's a pasuk which the Novi said to David HaMelech, and it was a parable about a poor man that owned a sheep, and it was unto him like a daughter. It says in the pasuk v'tihi, like the word hoya, mi have. Was that something that ever really happened? Elo moshel bi'alma. That pasuk, even though it says v'tihi lo kibas, it was simply an analogy. So hochanami, so too with regard to Eov, even though the pasuk said ish hoya beretzutz, moshel bi'alma was, it's a simple analogy. You know, it's simply an analogy and not the statement of an actual historical fact. The Gemara responds to that, though, im kein shmo v'shem iro lomo. If the pasuk, if Eov is simply quoted as an analogy, what do you need to have a name? What do you have to have a name of his city? By the fact that the pasuk tells you he actually had a name and he came from a specific city, that shows us that he existed in reality, contrary to what this Hahum Rabbanan wants to contend. We continue with more opinions. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer, Diamri Chavayo, Eov, Me'ole, Goyla, Hoyo, Beis Midrash B'Tveria, Hoyo. Eov lived in the time of Ezra, the returnees from the Babylonian exile, and his Beis Midrash was in Tveria. Meisvei, we challenge this, and we have a new marking. The triangle that you see is explained on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. These are Kushios Mimakoros Shemarim Dioiv Hoya Nochri. Velo Kamo Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lozer Shamru Dumeule Gula Hoya Ubeis Midrashu Bitveriov. We're going to raise questions from sources that show that Eov was a non-Jew, and not like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer contend that he was from the Jewish returnees and had a Beis Midrash in Tveria. Eov's lifespan was from the time that the Jews entered Mitzrayim and until they left. So he wasn't at the time of Ezra. The Gemara says that's no challenge to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Amar, today's source that was just quoted means as follows. Ke Misha, his lifespan was like the amount of time that lapsed, mi shenichnusu Yisrael l'Mitzrayim v'ad shah shiyatsu, meaning 210 years. They lived to be 210, but it doesn't indicate that he lived specifically at the time of the Jewish sojourn in Egypt. Meisvei, Shiva Nevi'im, Nisabu, Le'umos, Sa'ulam, Elohim. Bilam, there are seven prophets that prophesied amongst the nations of the world, and they are Bilam, the Aviv, Bilam and his father, Yov. And we dashed under on Yov, Eliphaz, Atimni, Beldad, Ashuchi, Vitzifran, Amosi, Veliu, Ben, Brachil, Habuzi. Well, we have a list of names, and we see that he was from amongst the nations of the world, and not from the Jewish returnees at the time of Ezra. The Gemara says, if you look carefully at this source, it's not a list limited to Gentiles. L'tamech, in looking at this list, Eliyahu ben Brachil, you saw him as number seven. Lav Yisrael, Havah, was he not Jewish? V'hog siv, mi'mishpachas Rom. It says that Eliyahu ben Brachil was from the family of the Rom family. And we look together at Rashi on the first narrow line, Eliyahu al korchoch midiachse kro b'shmo v'shem oviv v'shem mishpachto. You have to come to the conclusion from the fact that the pasuk gives you his name, his father's name, his family name, Yisrael Hafe. He was a Jew. V'yistamri mishas Rom hoyo hainu of Rom. The reference to Rom is a code name that he was from, a descendant from Avram. So as far as the list above is concerned, it includes Eliyahu ben Brachil, clearly a Jew, Ella, in Vuye in Vilu Mosoilam. The list features prophets that said prophecy concerning the nations of the world. Hochinam Eov in Vuye in Vilu Mosoilam, so too Eov said prophetic words that had relevance to the nations of the world, but not a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara asks, is it not so that, in fact, all Nevi'im prophesied concerning the nations of the world? Why are you saying that these seven did that when it's characteristic of all prophets? The Gemara says, Hosam ikir nivisayu Yisrael, hacha ikir nivisayu l'umos olam. With regard to the other prophets, their main prophecy was concerning the Jews. In this list, you have seven prophets whose prophecy concerned primarily the umos ha'olam. Mesvei, another challenge. Chosid hayaba umos ha'olam v'yovshmo. Notice we dashed underline what appears to be an explicit challenge to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yochanan. A pious man lived amongst the was amongst the nations of the world, and his name was Iov. He came to this world in order to receive his heavenly reward. Then the Almighty brought upon him suffering. He then started to blaspheme. And upon that, the Almighty doubled his reward in this world so as to cast him out of the world to come. Now, all that having been said, where do we stand with regard to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan? Tanoihi, the issue was a machlokes tanoim. Desanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer. Notice this is not to be confused with the Amora Rabbi Elazar. This is a Tana. And before we go further, we note on the side we have a topic heading, Lior HaBraisa Shemuv Aliel Chosid Hoy Mumos HaOlam Yoshmo. In light of the Tanaic source we quoted just before, that there was a righteous man amongst the nations of the world whose name was Iov, Shemara Diov Hoyon Nochri, that shows he was a Gentile. Neged Daitam Shel Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar B'Sof Amud Aleph, against their opinion. HaGemara Meres, the Gemara responds and says, Tanoihi Umaviya Mokor Im Harbe Deos Tanoim She'iov Yisrael Hoya. And we'll see in this Tanaic source numerous opinions that Iov was Jewish. And of course, based on these opinions, there's room for Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar to contend that he was in fact Jewish, as far as the time period is concerned. So we saw they said that he was part of the returnees at the time of Ezra and had a base medrash in Tiberia. So now let's see some Tanaic opinions on the topic of Iov. Rabbi Elazar Omer Iov Bimei Shvoit HaShoiftim Hoyom. He was at the beginning of the time of, at the time, or lived during the time of the Shoiftim, the period that followed Yehoshua. Shenemar Hein Atem Kulchem Chazisem V'lomaze Hevel Te'bolu. That is the Pasuk in Iov. E Zedor Shekulo Hevel. Which is the generation that there was, we'll call it anarchy, emptiness. Rashi says, Shekulo Hevel, the upper part of the narrow lines, Hatovim Shebehem Lo Hayu Klum. Even the best of them were considered nothing. Can Amrinu Kamon Sheha Nishpat Hoya Lo Pischon Pel Lishpot Es Shofto Mochicho. In the case of judgment, the defendant had an opening in order to turn the tables and judge the judge himself. So you see that the leadership, highest members of society were questionable. So which generation can we describe as Kulo Hevel? The Gemara continues, Havi Omer Ze Doro Shel Shvot HaShoftim. That's the generation of the Shoftim. We speak about Vayhi Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, we speak of the drush on that pasuk is the door, the generation that was had an opening, had a basis for judging its judges. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha Omer Iov bimei Achashverosh Hayosh Neemar v'lo nimtza noshim yofois kivinois Iov b'chol haaretz. In the book of Iov, it says that there were no more beautiful women than the daughters of Eov in the entire land. Which generation do you find the search for beautiful women? That was what we saw in the story featured in Megillas Esther concerning the time of Ahasuerus, the seeking of a replacement for Vashti. The Gemara interrupts. That's why we have a bracketed section of two lines. The Ema the May David, if you're going to determine the historical position of Eov based on the seeking of beautiful women, then you can place him many generations earlier in the time of David. Dichtiv vayivakshu naro yofa. The pasuk describes that at the end of David's life, there was a search for a beautiful maiden to serve as a source of warmth for the David in his old age. Gemara says, no, you can't position Eov in the time of David based on that, because Hassan by David, you see the pasuk says Bechol Gvul Yisrael, the search for the young maiden or the beautiful maiden was within the boundary of the land of Israel. Hacha, with regard to Eov, it says Bechol Haretz, in the entire land, the entire settled world, which was characteristic of the time of Ahasuerus and their search for a mate for Ahasuerus. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Eov bimei Malchus Shva hoya. He was at the time of the kingdom of Shva, the Shinemar Vatipol Shva Vatikochem. In the Sefer of Eov, in the first parak, we see that the Shva army came and plundered them. The Chachamim, Eov bimei Kastim hoya. The Chachamim say he was in the time of the Kastim, which is associated usually with the Babylonians. Shenemar, Kastim Somu Shloisha Roshim. Once again, a pasuk in Eov. V'yeshomrim Eov v'me Yankiv hoya. V'dino bas Yankiv nosa. Some put him in the time of the Yeshomrim, place him historically in the time of Yankiv Avinu. And Dino, the daughter of Yankiv, married him. Ksivocha kedaber achas ha-nevolos tedaberi. That is a pasuk in Eov. Ksiv hosam ki nevola osa b'Yisrael. So you see the word nevola, nevolos, in the context of Dina and in the context of Eov, placing them together historically. V'kulu hani tanoi sivira lehu di Eov mi Yisrael have. All of these tanoim, contrary to the preceding Tanaic source that put him together with the Umos HaOlam, categorizing him as a Gentile, all of these Tanoim would have him considered a Jew, Labar Miyesh Omrim, with the exception of the Yesh Omrim, which had him at the time of Yankiv Ovinu. The Isakadaita Umos HaOlam Have, if you were to suggest that amongst these Tanaic opinions, there is someone besides the Yesh Omrim that would have him as a Gentile. Bosu de Choshev Moshe, after the demise, the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishar Yeshchina Oliv de Gechovim, would the divine presence have settled upon an idol worshipper? V'ha'amar Bikesh Moshe Shalatash Yeshchina Oliv de Gechovim Nosano. Moshe Rabbeinu requested from the Almighty that he, the Almighty, shall not have his divine presence set upon idol worshippers, and the Almighty granted that request. Shenemar v'niflinu ani v'amcha. V'niflinu is a reference to I and your nation, the Almighty says, will be separate. Namely, I will be amongst the Jews, separate from dwelling setting my divine presence upon other nations. So, since all of these other opinions, whether it's Shvoit HaShoftim or Achashvero, Bi Achashvero, Shomachus Shvor, Bi Mekastim, it's not reasonable to even think that they would hold that Eov was a Gentile, because those other opinions place Eov after Moshe Rabbeinu, and from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu onwards, the divine presence which is associated with Eov would not have been on someone that was a non-Jew. We continue with a new marking. A triangle appears, and on the side we indicate these are Memros Shel Rabbi Yochanan, comments made by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Doro Shel Iov Shotuf Bezima Hoya, the generation of Iov was highly immoral. Shenemar Hein Atem Kuchem Chazisem V'Lomazet Hevel Tevolo Ksiv Shuvi Shuvi Hashulamis Shuvi Shuvi V'Necheze Boch. Notice we've dashed underlined these words that have similar roots to them, Chazisem and V'Necheze Boch. And where do you see in this pasuk of Shuvi Shuvi Hashulamis a reference to immorality? Well, we look in Rashi, and you'll see he says V'Necheze Boch. That Rashi, by the way, Rashi you'll see in the, well, pretty much in the middle of the Rashi commentary. It's an expression of immorality. To means to gaze upon women. The idol worshipping nations were turning to Israel, saying, "Shuvi l'toroseinu v'tizni imanu, come back to our ways and be immoral together with us." So the pasuk of Shuvi Hashulamis was a call to the Jewish people to come and join them, the hedonistic idol ways of the hedonistic and immoral ways of the idol worshippers. The Gemara asks, just because you see the word Chazisem in Iov, why do you assume that that means is a reference to immorality? Emor v'nevuah. Maybe Chazisim has to do with prophecy. Dichtiv Chazon Yeshaya ben Amos. So you see the word. You see the word Chazon associated with the great prophet Yeshaya. The Gemara says, "Im Kain." If you were to think that the pasuk in which Chazisim appears as a reference to prophecy, then how do you explain Lomo Ze Hevel Tebolo Lomali? That indicates emptiness and frivolity. We can't ascribe the pasuk in Iov to the realm of prophecy, but rather to immorality, as we said. The Omer of Yochanan, my dichti vehi bimei shvoit hashoftim. What is the meaning of that pasuk? And we explain, like we mentioned before, dor sheshefet es shoftov, a generation where the defendants would actually turn the tables and judge the judges. Rashi says, "Sheshefet sheftov shahiyu hasheftim atzmam mikukolim." The judges themselves were corrupt. V'hoya pischein peh v'nishpat lochiach es mochicho. There was an opening for the one being judged to cast doubts and judgment upon the judge himself. We saw this referred to earlier in Rashi. That's lochiaches mochicho. Sheim omar lo hashofet. We'll see this shortly in the Gemara. If the judge would say, "Tol kesam mibein enecha," remove the splinter from between your eyes, histalek ufrosh me'avera ketana, which is an analogy to you ought to distance yourself from a slight affront. Shebiotcha, that you have violated. Yochol ze lomar, the defendant could say back to the judge, "Tul kura mibein enecha, take the beam from between your eyes." Prosh me'avera chamura shebiotcha, you ought to desist from a serious offense that you have violated. So let's turn back to the Gemara, and you'll see what Rashi was saying was taken from right over here. We're asking, what is Bimei Shvot HaShoftim? We said it's the generation where the defendants can actually judge the judges. Oymer lo, the judge may say, "Tul kesam mibein einecha," take the splinter, the toothpick from between your eyes. Omer lo, the defendant would say, "Tol kura mibein einecha," you ought to remove the beam, the serious offense that you are guilty of. Omar lo, if the judge would say, "Kaspecha hoya lesigim," your silver is full of dross. Omar lo, the defendant would say back, "Savech mahul b'mayim," your wine is highly diluted with water. On the side of the Gemara, we have a structural note where we'll very shortly feature the diamond that is coming up. But in the meantime, the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel bar Nachmanim Rabbi Yonason, Kol Eimer Malchus Shva Isha Haisa. Anyone who says that Malchus Shva is the reference to a woman, people refer to in English, they make reference to the Queen of Sheba. The Gemara here is saying that's a mistake. Eino Elotaya, he is merely in error. My Malchus Shva, what does that mean? Malchusa de Shva, it's the kingdom of Shva. And we mentioned that these diamonds are part of a specific structure in the Gemara. So on the side, first of all, we note that this structural concern continues to Daf Tes Zayin Omer Aleph. The diamond highlights Hifois Asotan Bifnei Hashem, the appearance of the Satan in front of the Ribbono Shelom. So that you have here Vayhi Hayom, and you'll see shortly how the Satan appears. And when you turn to Tes Zayin Omer Aleph, you'll notice at narrower lines in the upper part of the page, again, Vayhi Hayom. And that's a reference to Eov in Perek Beis. Whereas here you have a reference to a Pasuk in Eov, Perek Aleph. So there's the Gemara will be featuring, we'll say, an ongoing series of events, of stories, where the Satan makes his appearance in the, we'll say, in the heavenly court. So, with that general structural note, we want to turn to the immediate topic, the Nosei, which reads, HaSatan Meshabeches Avram, the Satan praises Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoel, and the Almighty asks, Hayim Ro'isos Eov, did you see the great Tzaddik Eov, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Godo HaNema Rabbi Yov Yesu Mimashinema Bavram? And Rabbi Yochanan says that greater is the praise the Pasuk says concerning Eov even more than you find by Avram. And in the course of the Gemara, this causes the Satan to be alarmed, creating the thinking that maybe the Kodesh Baruch Hu is turning his great love and affinity toward Eov, turning away from Avram. Could that be? So now the Gemara. Vayhi hayom, vayavo b'nei ho'elokim, nesyasiv al Hashem, vayavo gam ha'satan b'soicham, the angels gathered together, and the Satan amongst them. Vayomer Hashem al ha'satan, mayayim tovo, vayan ha'satan b'chulei, the Almighty said to the Satan, from where are you coming from? And the Satan then answered. That's as far as a direct quote from the Psukim. Omar lefonov. And now the Gemara explains what happened there. The Satan says, "Ribbono Shelam, shati b'chol olam kulo. I flew through the entire world. I found no one more trustworthy than your servant Avram Avinu. Shalmarta lo, you said to him, 'Kum hisalech boratz lo kulo rochbo kiluchat nena.' I arise and travel the land of Israel in its length and width, for I will be giving it unto you. Tafilu hachi b'shal shelam motzam mokem lipo yasora." And even so, when he found no place to bury his wife Sarah, until he had to pay out a vast amount of money, 400 shekel kesef, in the purchase of the Moras HaMachpelah and the surrounding area, he didn't question your ways. He took it in stride, so to speak. That even on the one hand, the Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him to be the balabos of the entire Eretz Yisrael, he nevertheless, when circumstances resulted in his having to buy the Moras HaMachpelah, he didn't question anything. Vayomer Hashem el HaSatan. And now we go back to Psukim. The Almighty says, "The Son, Asamta Libchel Avdi Eov Kien Kmo Baretz. Did you notice my servant Eov? There is no one like him. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Godol Nemer Biov Yosim Mimashin Emar Avram. Greater is that which is said by Eov more than Avram. The Ilu Avram Ksiv Ki Avdi Yadati Ki Yoreh Likimato. Regarding Avram, it says, I now know that you're a God fearing person. Ubiov Ksiv Ish Tom V'Yosher Yoreh Likim V'Sor Meira. You see additional words of praise concerning Eov that you don't find by Avraham. My Vesor Meira, which would literally mean he steers away from evil. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Shmuel, Eov Vatron B'mamono Hoya. Vesor Meira is a reflection of a special attribute of Eov, that he was Vatron B'mamono. We'll explain that through the Gemara's example. Min hogel shel olam noisein chatzi pruto lechenvoni Eov vitra mishalo. Now we turn immediately to Rashi. Hachi garsinon, we're looking at Rashi almost at the end of the Rashi column. He says minog ha'olam minog olam noisein chatzi pruto lechenvoni mi sheyesh lo melacham u'etes lasos. Imagine someone had a small amount of work that he needed to do, and he would hire someone to do that. Omer lepoel chatzi pruto ani noisein loch. I'll pay you a half a pruto. Now, the pruto is the smallest unit of currency that you find in the shas. The amount of work that needed to be done was worth no more than a half a pruto. So the balabos says, I'll give you half a pruto. But there's no coin that's a half a pruto. Let us go to a grocery store. V'nikne b'pruto hikor beitzim, and I'll buy a loaf of bread for a pruto, or some eggs for a pruto. Now that's something that's divisible. V'nachlok, and we'll split. I'll take half the loaf, and you take half the loaf. Now in a case like that, where such a small amount of work was done, and Eov happened to have hired the individual, Eov vitra lechatzi hasheni mishalo, Eov would be foregoing on the half that technically belonged to him. V'nosein lo kol apruto shoyo rabe inov ledakdik b'dover kal sheinu momon. Eov felt it would be too miserly to be so picky-yoon in giving the worker the half a loaf. He was willing to pay the worker the entire pruta instead of the arrangement that we just mentioned with the chenvoni. We continue in the Gemara. Vayan hasodn es Hashem vayomar hachinom yore yov elkim. The sodn says to Almighty, is his God fearing quality for naught? Halo ato sachto ba'do v'ad beiso. You'll notice we have a little star leading us to the side where we have the continuation of the pasuk. The sultan says, you know, he's God fearing because you've given him a lot. You've sachta ba'davav. You've protected, literally, you've covered him. You've protected him from everything. Uvad kol asher lo misaviv maisi yodov beirachto mikneu poratz boretz. You've protected him and all that which surrounds him. You've given him plenty, and his cattle is poratz ba'oretz. The Gemara asks, "My ma'ase yodov beirachto?" This is, of course, a quote from the continuation of the pasuk that we had written on the side. What does that mean? Omar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak kol ha'netel pruto me'yov mizborech. Anyone who would receive a coin from Eov would see increase in that. My mikneu poratz boretz, and what does that mean? Also, the continuation of the pasuk that we read. Omar Rabbi Yosi Ruchaninum mikneu shel poratz gudru shel ulam. The cattle of Eov, Eov's animals, Eov's domestic animals, breached the ways of the natural ways of nature. Min hagel shel olam, in the natural course of events, avim horgim ho'izim, wolves will prey on goats. Mikneu shel Eov, amongst the cattle of Eov, izim horgim esas avim, his goats killed wolves. And that's what the pasuk means when it says umikneu poratz boratzi, his white cattle broke the ways of nature. They violated the ways of nature, as we just described. The sultan says, "V'ulam shlachno yodcha v'gav b'chol shelo imlo al panecha yivorechecha." He challenges the Almighty and says, "Cast your hand upon him, afflict him, and then let's see if he doesn't blaspheme." V'omar v'yomer Hashem l'asotin. So the Almighty takes him up on that challenge. He says, "Hinei kol ashelo biyodecha. I'm giving over to you everything that he, Eov, has. Raki lo v'al tishlaf yodecha, but do not afflict him." It will say bodily. V'yayom uvonav noso v'yichum v'shoysim yayin b'veisachim b'chor. And it was on a particular day that the sons and daughters of Eov were eating, drinking wine in the home of their eldest brother. Umalach boel Eov, malach came to Eov, vayomer, and announced, Haboker hoyu chorshos, vasonos rois al yudehem. And if you look in the actual psukim, at this point there begins the affliction of that which had belonged to Eov. And it says regarding the regarding that particular episode, the cattle were plowing, and it says and the donkeys grazed by their side. So we're asking, my haboko yichoshes vasanus rose. Then what do you mean by that? The pasuk teaches us that the Almighty had given Eov a taste, and we continue at the top of Tezayin and Aleph, Me'ein Olam Haba, a taste of the world to come, the future existence. There is a Rashi toward the end. You see, Vasenos Rois Al Yedehem Al Yedei Habokar, by the side of the cattle. So you have the cattle were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing by their side. Dorish le likra, because the pasuk says al yedei habokar, that gives room for a drosh on the pasuk. Shechelis chazis mitelim ha maane shazeret sumeach b'shaito, as the maane is a furrow that was just being plowed up by the oxen, and right as the furrow was being plowed up, the plant would grow immediately, enabling the donkeys to eat from it. Now that's what you'll see in the description of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara meant when it said Me'ein Olam Haba. Now Rashi at the top of Tesayin Omar Aleph adds Me'ein Olam Haba Kidichtiv. Pasuk in Yirmiyo, in describing the future times, says Hora Violetis Yachdov. Hora is pregnancy, conception, pregnancy, and Violetis is the giving birth. Harayon Violetis Biyomechod, conception and birth in one day, in the same day. Hachi darshinu le masechus Shabbos, and that's what the Gemara explains concerning that pasuk in Shabbos. And so too with Eov, the plowing, which is part of the activity involving planting, and the immediate growth and ability to eat from it on the part of the donkeys indicates that Eov had experienced a taste of the world to come. Oze medaber v'ze bo v'yomer esh elokim chulei. The psukim cited here, we've noted on the side, cover psukim tes zayin through chav beis. Reports start flowing into Eov, one after another, and says that now the fire of God came and consumed things. Oze medaber v'ze bo, one is still reporting in another. Messenger comes in. The Castians came and plundered your camels and your children were eating by their eldest sibling, and a strong wind came from the desert and swept the four corners of their house, Vayipal and Aram, and the house collapsed on them, on the children, on the youth. Vayokim Yavikras Milo Yov arose and tore his garment, Vayogos es Rosho, and he shaved his head. Vayom Oroim Yotzosim Yibetin Imi Veoroim Oshuv Shoma. I was born naked, and I will go back to the ground naked, with nothing. That is Hashem, Nosam Hashem Lokach. God gave, God takes back. Yishem Hashem Mevorach. And let the name of God be blessed. B'chozos lochota Yov lonosan tiflo lalekim. With all of this, with all of his property, possessions, children, all gone, he nevertheless did not cast any blasphemous words toward the Almighty. Vahi ayom vayovo bnei elokim lisatzev vayomer Hashem el hasatan emize tovo vayon hasatan es Hashem vayomer mishut baretz omar lufonov ribon shalom shadu b'chol ha'olam v'lo motzosi ke'avdecho Avram she'amart eloi ku misaleich baretz lo gelorach bo ki l'choyet nena v'shal shabikesh lipur sor lo motzo mokim kevra v'lo hiru achar midosecha vayomer Hashem el hasatan hasamta libcho el avdi yov ki ein kamo bo aretz Vodenu machzik betumaso, vatasiteni bo levolo chinam. Have you not noticed, Eov? There is no one like him in all the land. You have vatasiteni. That's the word that we've highlighted with a dashed underline keyword over here. You've challenged me to consume him, to destroy him. For nothing. Look at him. Look how he's withstood the we'll call it this test, the spiritual test, and maintained his piety through all of this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ilmole Mikro Kasuv. If not for the verse saying what it did, Yef Shalom, on our own we would never have been able to say Ke Adam Shemesita Naiso the Nises. Like a person who is challenged, and we speak of hasata in the context of someone that you try to seduce. In other contexts, we see this as to try to seduce people into idolatry. We were using the expression being challenged, but in a negative way. And in this case, the Almighty, with regard to the Sultan's efforts, it was as if the Sultan was trying to seduce the Almighty, and he yielded to the Sultan's attempts. So if not for the Pasuk saying Vatasiteni, the Vavalachinam, we would never have been able to say such a thing about the Almighty. B'masnisotona, in the Tanaic source, we see this description of the Sultan, Yored Umasa. He comes down into this world, tries to lead people astray. Va'olo margiz. He then goes up to heaven, and when the person is victim of the Yetzirah, the Sultan's attempts, he then goes and prosecutes. He tries to arouse the wrath of the Almighty upon that individual. Notel rishus v'notel mishama. He then gets permission and takes people's souls. Vayana Sultan es Hashem vayomer. The Sultan responded to the Almighty, who had just finished praising Eov, and said, a person will give anything just to preserve his own life. I challenge you, says the Sultan to the Almighty, afflict him bodily, and let's see if he doesn't start to blaspheme. For him, Hashem al Sultan, he know biodcha. He says, okay, I give him into your hands, Achiz Avshishmar, but one thing, don't kill him. Do not remove his soul. And the Sultan departed and started to afflict Eov bodily. The pain that the Sultan experienced was actually greater than that of Eov. He was put under a very difficult challenge. Moshe Levin, Shomel Rabo, the analogy to a slave that was commanded by his master, Shmor Chavis, Shmor Es Yeno, smash a receptacle containing wine and make sure that the wine doesn't flow out. So too, you're given the challenge of afflicting Eo bodily, and at the same time making sure that his soul, that the breath of life remains in him. Omar Reish Lakish, who Satan, who Yetzirah, who Malach HaMoves. These three are one in the same. Who Satan, the Thiva, Yetzirah, Satan, Mes Pnei Hashem. Who Yetzirah, that same one is the evil inclination. Ksivacha, Hasam, Rak, Ra, Kolayom. Ksivacha, so regarding the Yetzirah, the Pasuk says, Rak, Ra, Kolayom. We dash on the key word there, Rak. The Pasuk is from Bereishis, Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. We've included the Pasuk on the side of our marked Gemaras, which reads, Vayara Hashem ki rabo ros adam baretz, v'chol yetzer machshavos liboy rak ra kolayom. You see the word yetzer, reference to the yetzerah, the evil inclination is rak ra kolayom. So that's what it says regarding the yetzahara. Uksiv hacha, here regarding the Satan, it says, rak elov al tishlach yodcha. Who Malach HaMoves, and he is also the angel of death. In other words, he has his reign or control over life. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Ach es nafsho shmo. The Almighty says, but be careful, don't remove the breath of life from him. Alma b'dei kaima. So you see from this that it's within his power to remove the breath of life. Let us now turn our attention to the Tosfos on Daf Tes Vov Amud Aleph, the lower half of the Tosfos page, Divor Maschil Shmoyne Psukim Shibatura, Yochid Kirei Oysam, a reference to the Gemara, 22 lines from the top. Before we go through the Tosfos, let us glance at the side where we have a Taktzir / Mivneh heading for this particular Tosfos. A double underline appears, and that highlights the names Rabbi Meshulam and Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos deals with Pirushim, Beha, Dekomar, Shmoyne Psukim, Shebeter Yochid, Kirei Oysam. What does that phrase mean? When we learned the Gemara, we offered an explanation, but Tosfos will deal with that anew. And Aha, Dekomar, Rabbeinu Tam, regarding that which Rabbeinu Tam says, Bedchias Rabbeinu Meshulam, where he dismisses Rabbi Meshulam's approach, the Chol HaTorah, the Velo Rak Shmoneh HaPsukim, Yochid Kirei Velo Shnayim. Whereas Rabbi Meshulam indicated that when it comes to the 8 psukim of the Torah, only one person reads them aloud and not two people together. Rabbeinu Tam says that's not unique to the 8 psukim of the end of the Torah. That applies to the entire Torah, that when it is read, when one reads the Torah, only one voice is to be heard, not two. Yesh lahasbir min hagenu. We have to therefore explain our practice. Shemisha ilu l'Torah hashliach tzibur kore yachad ito. When one gets an aliyah, you have the we call the balkuri. We'll see in Tesis the reference to the balkuri is using the term shliach tzibur. He reads along with the one that got an aliyah. So how do we justify that minig in light of the ruling that when the Torah is read, only one is to read it? Now the Tosfos. Shemayna v'sukim shebet Torah yochid kura esam Rabbeinu Meshulam hoya matzrich mikan likrois li'echad oysan shemayna v'sukim shelo yikra imoy shliach tzibur. Rabbeinu Meshulam, when it came to those last 8 psukim of the Torah, insisted that only one person reads it, and that the Balkari should not read along with him. The Ein Nire La Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't accept that. D'ha kala Torah kulanami echad korei. With regard to the entire Torah, only one is to read it aloud. Kedisnan b'Megillah, as it says in Maseches Megillah, Karuha Shnayim Yotsu. With regard to Megillas Esther, if two people are reading it aloud, they're reading it together, those who listen fulfill their requirement. Vilmar Bagamora, Tona Mashain Kane Batura. And in the Gemara in Megillah, we have a source that says that ruling regarding Megillas Esther is different from the way we deal with the rest of the way we deal with the Torah. Namely, when reading the Torah, all of the Torah, only one is to read, not two. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says, "Yochid kore below hafsaka." What does Yochid kore osam mean? That one reads the eight psukim without splitting them, without stopping in the middle, without shelo yikru shnayim ze dalid psukim ze dalid. We don't want the eight psukim at the end of the third to be split between two aliyas, where one reads four and the other one would read four. And now Tosis continues with a long point. Our current practice is that even with regard to the Torah, two people are reading. Namely, you have someone who's called up to the Torah, and you have a Bal Kore. How do we justify that? Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Kidei Shelo Yisbayesh Mi She'enu Yodei Likros Ba'atzmo. We have a Bal Kore that reads so as to, even though there's an expectation that the one who gets the Aliyah is also reading, however, there could be a situation where someone is called to the Torah and he doesn't know how to read. And he would, if we would insist on only him reading, because we want only one person to read, he'll experience extreme embarrassment. So as to avoid the embarrassment of someone who doesn't know how to read, we provide a Bal Kore. Ki'inyin shimotzin Maseches Bikurim, similar to that which we find in Maseches Bikurim, Disnan, Kol Mishe Yodea Likrois Kore Biatzmo, in the bringing of the Bikurim, the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, was a passage from the Torah that is to be recited. Anyone who knows how to do it reads it on his own. Vishenu Yodea Likrois Makrin Lefonov. And those that don't know, so someone would recite it and he would then answer word by word what he is supposed to be saying. As a result, though, Nimnu Milohovi Bikurim. There were those that stopped bringing Bikurim because they were embarrassed to come and need someone to read for them. So Hiskinu Shiu Makrin Es Mi Sheyodea Likros Ves Mi Sheino Yodea Likros. So they made a takona, made a ruling that regardless of whether the one who was bringing his Bikurim was knowledgeable, was able to read on his own, or not able to read, they established that there would be an official reader. So that you see this idea of having established what we have for the Torah, the same thing, established a Bal Kore, so as to, and he would read for everybody, so as to protect the dignity of those that don't know how to read. So as a result, you'll have people called up to the Torah. Those that know how to read will read, but the Bal Kore will be reading out loud along with the person that got the Aliyah. So that explains how, even though by letter of law only one should be reading, but because of Shalish Bayesh Mishena Yodei Likros, so we will always have a Bal Kore who is reading. And now we continue with another long point. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Earl LeBay Kinishda. Rabbi Shmuel entered a shul, the Chozo Chazna de Koyim the Korei, and he noticed there was someone reading the Torah, Velo Koy bar Inish Tachtov, and there was no one there, standing there. Omar Le, Osir, and he said that that's not a permissible situation. Kishem shenit natura al yedei sirsur kach onut zrichim linog ba al yaday sirsur, just like the Torah was given by a sirsur, an intermediary. Namely, we had Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Torah, so too we have to do the same when it comes to our reading of the Torah. Afagav the mashma shechazan oimed eitzel hakore, even though it sounds from that the chazan, we refer to as the Baal Kore, is standing next to the one who is supposed to be reading, namely the person who got an aliyah, lo shiyikro imo, that Yerushalmi is not saying that they should read together, elo yamo v'yikro oisom sheyesh lahem likros. What that means, means he shall stand, that namely the chazan that we just referred to stands there and calls them up to the Torah. That's the explanation that the Yavetz offers to this line of the Tosfos. He calls them up by name to the Torah. Kedei shetinosein Torah ayidei sirsur. That way you have the idea, the symbolism of giving the Torah through an intermediary. In other words, the story of the Yerushalmi with Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok's comment is that in addition to the person who got the Aliyah, there should be someone standing there calling up the individuals to receive the Aliyah. And that calling up of individuals is like the giving of the Torah through an intermediary. The oid oimer ri diocholios she ktsas mseilo benachas. It also could be that the shech tzibor also helps out in the reading. Namely, he doesn't just stand there, but he also helps out in the reading. But still, you don't have the problem of two people reading from the Torah, since he is reading in a low voice. That which the Gemara in Megillah indicated that two should not read. That means two people reading aloud. That is what we object to when it comes to the reading of the Torah. But to have someone reading along with the person who got the Aliyah in a low voice so as to help out the person that got the Aliyah, that as long as the public won't hear two, we'll say, loud voices, that's acceptable. We now turn to the next Tosfos, the last one on the Omer Dibur Maskil, Iyov. This is a reference to the Gemara, six lines from the bottom, Iyov lo hoya velo nivra. We saw the opinion that Iyov never existed. Hi, lo sovar kareish lokish. This opinion is not the same as the opinion of Reish Lokish de Omar Bebreshis Rabba, Iov lo hoya shebo olov yisurin. Now that means that Iov existed, but not as one who absorbed all of the suffering. V'lo omar hakosuv shebo alav, the verse says that suffering came upon him. Rather, it's lehodiacha koichu shel Iov. It's to show us the strength of this man Iov. In theory, had he been besieged by all of that suffering, he would have been able to withstand it. So there is, on the one hand, the opinion cited in our Gemara that Iov didn't exist, and that his whole being is merely a moshal. And you have Reish Lakish in Bereishis Rabbah that indicates Iov did exist, but that aspect of him being afflicted with all the terrible suffering featured in the Pesukim, that didn't actually happen. The Isavar Hai Amora, if you were to think that the Amora featured in our Gemara, the Eov Hoya Ba'olam, that Eov did exist, like the opinion of Reish Lakish, Im Kain, if that's the case, then my Ka'omar, why did you see the response to that opinion in our Gemara? It said, Shmo, Vishem Yiro Loma. Why was there any necessity in mentioning his name and his city's name? And if this opinion held that Eov really did exist, then that's significant. There would be no room for asking, why do you mention his name and his city's name? It's important to mention that. Who is that righteous one that could have withstood all of those Yisurin? So from the fact that you see in our Gemara that particular reaction, why does it mention his name and his city? That reflects upon the opinion that says that Eov never existed. And once you say that Eov never existed, then there's room for asking that particular question. But if you hold, like Reish Lakish, that he actually did exist, but simply didn't experience all that suffering, so there's no room for asking, why do you mention his name and his city's name? That information is quite important to know. What's the name of that tzaddik that would have been able to withstand all of that? We now turn to Tes Vav Amud Beis. Tosfos. Now you notice with regard to the printing of the Tosfos and the order of things on this particular Amud, on two occasions the Tosfos are printed, we'll say, out of order. So the first Tosfos that has relevance to the Gemara is the second one printed on the page. Ema, this is connected to the first line of the Gemara. Ema kemisha shenifnesu Yisrael leMitzrayim. The emphasis on the chof kemisha in defending the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan that he was a Jew that came back with the return during the time of Ezra. The Tanaic source that was cited as a challenge is rather to be understood as a source telling us the age, the lifespan of Eov, and not a historical marker. V'im tomar umay komashmolon, you might come and ask, well, what's this Tanaic source then revealing to us? Kroksiv. There is a pasuk that says, Vayosef Hashem as kol asher liov lemishneh. The pasuk says that at the end of, after the Yisurin, the Almighty gave to Eov, granted him everything in double. V'Eov achrei oisa maisa choya kuf mem shona. And we know that after the suffering, he lived 140 years. And that 140 years represents a doubling of what he had before that. So what's half of 140? 70. V'im kainoya ben shivim kainem. So before the suffering started, he was 70. So from the psukim themselves, I discover that he was 210 years. So if you would say that the source is to be taken literally, that he lived during that time period while the Jews were in bondage, he was outside as a Gentile, fine. So then the source tells us that. But if you're telling me that the whole purpose of the source is to tell me how long he lived and not representing a historical demarcation, namely when he lived, what do I need a Tanaic source for that purpose when I can see his lifespan through the Psukim? V'yesh lomar, the Tosfos answers, as far as the Psukim, the Pasuk that says that God granted Eov double, the Sakadait of the Lok Kofal, Elo Ba'osher, V'yofi Shalbonos, Alva B'shanim Lo, the doubling, I would have thought, without the Gemara and the Tanaic source, I would have thought the doubling was only with regard to his wealth. The previous wealth that he had that was destroyed was now doubled, and the beauty of his daughters, as we'll see in the upcoming Gemara, that was doubled, but not length of life. So in order to tell us that he had a doubling of length of life as well, that's what you need the Tanaic source for. We now turn to the next Tosfos, Divrei Maschil Bilam. That is printed at the top of the page. Bilam the Aviv. The Tanaic source we saw in the Gemara indicated that there were seven prophets for the nations of the world. And in the list you find Bilam, who is, of course, a very famous figure, and also his father, Kida Omar b'Megillah. Kol Shishmo v'Shem Aviv b'Nevius. Anyone who is reported in the scriptures along with his father's name in the context of prophecy, B'Yodur Shehu Novi Ben Novi. And of course, with regard to Bilam, he is reported in the Torah as being Bilam Ben Baor. So he, Bilam, and his father were prophets, and hence he's part of the list of this, namely Bilam's father is part of the list of seven. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Divrei Maschil Elihu, the third Tosfos on the page. This is a reference to the Gemara, six lines from the top, at a point at which the Gemara was saying, how can you say that all seven prophets are Gentiles? In our attempt to show that Eov was a Gentile, and hence we'd have a question of Elozer and Rabbi Yochanan, but you can't say that about the list of seven. Apart amongst the list there is Elihu ben Brachel, and the Tosfos Elihu lo Mishrael Hava. That's how we read the Gemara. Was Elihu not Jewish? Of course he was. Mashma de Pshita de Elihu ben Brachel Yisrael Hava. From the Gemara, you see that it's obvious to the Gemara that Elihu was Jewish. L'kach nireh to prepare kamad of the Zohar d'Omar. Therefore, with that understanding, when you turn to the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zorah d'Omar, it says there in an agoda which features the allegiance that the Jewish people had to the Torah, it says, Yovel Beldod Hashuchi V'tzeifran Amasi V'yidu Ben B'Yisrael Shikaimu Kol HaTorah Kula. Let these people, Beldod Hashuchi and Tzeifran Amasi, come as Goyim, as Gentiles, come and testify that the Jewish people observed all of the Torah. So in that Gemara, Lo Garsin and Hosam V'lu Ben Brachel, don't have him included in those, i.e. Gentiles, that are going to come and testify about the Jewish people fulfilling the Torah. The thrust of that Gemara is to have Gentiles, namely outsiders, coming and testifying about the Jewish fulfillment of the Torah. And hence, Elihu ben Brachel, based on our Gemara here, would not belong as part, would not be a member of that group of people testifying about the Jewish people fulfilling the Torah, being that he himself was Jewish. Venira de Shmaitza de Hossam, it appears that the Gemara there in Maseches Avodah Zorah, that Beldad and Sofer spoke words of prophecy, namely through that they were able to testify that the Jewish people fulfilled all of the Torah, so that that sukya sovra command Omar Eov bime Yankiv Have. Eov with his friends Beldad and Sofer, it must have been historically very early, namely in the time of Yankiv Avinu. The Ha'omar L'Kamon was, as we saw later in the Gemara that we already learned, the Mimoshe Ve'elich L'Shor Seshchina Lo Dikachovim. From Moshe Rabbeinu onwards, as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu requesting a special relationship for himself and the Jewish people with God. From his time onwards, the divine presence did not dwell amongst the idol worshippers. So here you have the Gemara in Avodah Zarah speaking about these non-Jews, Beldad Ashuchi and Sovra Nosi, being able to testify about the Jewish people's fulfillment of the Torah. It must be that they came from a period of time before Moshe Rabbeinu, namely from the time period of Yankiv, and hence they had the power of Nevuah, which from Moshe Rabbeinu's time onwards would not have been characteristic of non-Jews. We continue now with the Tosfos Dibur Masel B'Feirush. And once again, as we indicated earlier, the Tosfos are printed out of order, so that this Tosfos, you notice we're skipping a Tosfos momentarily, because B'Feirush comes before the Dibur Masel of Dor. So Tosfos B'Feirush, I should say B'Pirush Rabbeinu Chanan al Goras, this is a reference to the Gemara 30 lines from the top. In Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa, it says Kulu Tanoi V'Amoroi, and we're emphasizing the word Amoroi, Modu De Yoiv Yisrael Hoya. According to the Rabbeinu Hananel version, he has all. He says that all the Tanoim and Amoroim concede or agree that Eov was of the was a member of the Jewish people. Ulari Nira the Lo Garcin of Amoroi. The Re says that it would be better not to have the Girsa of Amoroi. The Rava Al Korchov Sovar Liel. Rava definitely back on Omid Aleph, 9 lines from the bottom. The Lam Yisrael Have, that Eov was not from the Jewish people. The Koma Leel Hochi Omar Lehen Moshe Lamaraglim. When Rava said that that Eov was during the time of the Meraglim, as you can see, as you can see back on Omid Aleph, we mentioned 9 lines from the bottom. Actually, the first of the lines under the Rashi, the first of the wide lines of the Gemara, Rava said that Eov was Bimeir Meraglim. Well, Rava was an Amora as well. So it's from the fact that he said that, and Hochi Omar Lehen Moshe Lemeraglim Yeshno Liyosei Odom Shishnoisev Keitz V'chule, is there that man amongst the Canaanite people who lived a long life, had experienced longevity like a tree? So according to Rava, Yov was clearly not part of the Jewish people. He was amongst the Canaanites who protected, through his piety, was able to protect on his generation, but of course was amongst the non-Jews. So to say, like, to have as a version like Rabbeinu Hananel, that all Tanoim and Amoroyim as well are moda that Yov was from Yisrael, would simply be not accurate, being that Rava is not of that opinion. We turn now to the next Tosfos, but we move up one, Dibur HaMaschil, Dor. This refers to the Gemara, 18 lines from the end. Dor sheshoifet es shoiftov. Rashi explained that the judges themselves were corrupt. Temo l'ri. The Omar, the Perek Sheni the Tmura. The Re has difficulty with that description of a generation, and we're talking about a generation that followed Yoshua. It was a generation where all the judges were corrupt. The Omar, it says in the second paragraph of Tmura, Kol Eshkolei Shomdu Yisrael Mi Mois Moisha Ad Shemes Yosef Ben Yoezer Lo Hoya Bohem Shum Doifi, that all the Eshkolos Where Eshkolos, you see Darshan and the Gemara elsewhere, Ish Shakol Bo, say, all the leaders that stood at the helm of the Jewish people from the time of Moshe until into the early Tanaic period, the time of Yosef ben Yoezer, which is, during the middle of the second Beis HaMikdash period, Lohay Bem Shum Doifi, they were not lacking in anything. They were totally pious, complete, wholesome individuals. So how is it that Rashi can say that when describing Dorshe Shofet Shoftov, that the Shoftov, the judges that were being judged by the masses, were corrupt individuals? That doesn't conform to the description of the Gemara in Tmura, which indicated that they were wholesome, complete individuals. We continue now with the last Tosis on the Omid, Dimor Maskil, V'yesh. V'yesh Omer, Yov, Bimei Yaikiv Have, Hani, Yesh Omrim, reference to this opinion as being Yesh Omrim, Lav, Hainu, Rabbi Nosson. Even though you find elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of Maseches Horius, you find the term Rabbi Yesh Omrim is being a reference to a code name for Rabbi Nosson. But to say that the Yesh Omrim that appears in our Gemara is that Rabbi Nosson, that is just unlikely. It can't be. Why? The opinion of Yesh Omrim that says that that Eov was in the time of Yankiv, well, that's at odds with Rabbi Nosson himself, who said that Rabbi Nosson was in the time of the Malchus Shema, which is long after the time of Yankiv Avinu. So it's quite clear that even though in general Yesh Omrim is a reference to Rabbi Nosson, that cannot be over here. And by the way, not only that, but in the source, they both appear together in the same source. And you have Rabbi Nosson, and then two lines after him, you have the Yesh Omrim. Obviously, they cannot be one in the same. Even though, as we mentioned, that throughout the Shas, when you see the term Yesh Omrim, that is a reference to Rabbi Nosson. Simply not so over here.